Good morning. The shiur today is dedicated to the memory of Rav Sholem ben Yisrael Ullman Zal. A chutzen of one of our guests here today from London, England. And, we should learn the Zecher Nishmas. Rav Sholem ben Yisrael, today is the end of the Shloshim. Yehi Zichro Baruch. We have a lot to do today because this is the third and the last shiur in the series. What was the series all about? We were following the brothers of Yosef through the process of tshuva. The first step in that process was the fact, you'll recall the message that we're going to get to again at the end, that they made a ban of excommunication, that nobody can tell Yaakov Avinu what had happened there that day, and therefore we explained, of course, they are no longer capable of blaming one another. They ultimately, 22 years later, they are standing in the presence of Tzofnat Paneach of Egypt, and he accuses them of being spies, and he wants to incarcerate them all. That they finally say, Aval Hashem Anachnu, we are guilty about our brother. We didn't, he pleaded with us. And we didn't hear. So he said, the first year was the idea that as long as one is incapable of blaming anybody else, which is the normal first thing that one wants to do to any things that we... anything we fail at, we blame others. But if we can't blame others, then ultimately we're going to have to come to the conclusion that we're the ones, we're all guilty. And that's exactly where the brothers arrive at. And not only did they arrive at the decision that they are all guilty, they express it verbally. That verbal expression is vidui, confession. And the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says, first step, when a person does tshuva, he has to take all of those ideas and give them life. The ideas are not enough. You have to express them verbally. I sinned. I made a terrible, terrible mistake. Reuven is the one who responds to them. He says, well, hello, Martin Lechem. I told you don't sin with the child, and you didn't hear. Our second shiur was the shiur in which we discussed the fact that when the brothers confess, they say, he cried, and we didn't hear him. 22 years later, they finally hear the cries of Yosef. And we learned the Meshech Chachma, and Rav Kook, that man who sins is no longer pristine, natural man that God created. God created man that whatever he needs, not only physically, but whatever man needs emotionally, and whatever he needs intellectually, is all prepared for him. A normal, untainted and unsoiled human being would be able to feel the pain of another human being. But when the heavy coverings of sin, once they have already begun the process of tshuva, now 22 years later they say, V'lo shamanu, we didn't hear his screams. It's ringing in our ears, we didn't hear it. Now that's number five, down at the bottom of the page. After the We just talked about this, the psukim that were underlined. Let's read another few psukim. V'hem lo yadu, they didn't know ki shomea Yosef. They didn't know, you know, as I read the pasuk, I get so excited about it. Something I never thought. Two psukim ago it said about the brothers, we didn't hear. The pasuk after that it said, Reuven said, you didn't hear. But you know who did hear?
There's one person who hears. Yosef hears. V'hem lo yadu ki shomea Yosef. Yosef hears. Ki hamelet beinotam, because there was the interpreter. They thought that this Shafnas Paleach Egyptian doesn't understand Hebrew. You understand? My parents who speak in Polish, but we never learned Polish. But here they think they can knock around over there, be a vrit between themselves, and nobody understands them. But Yosef hears. Yosef hears. Vayisaf me'aleihem vayevk. He turned away from them and he cried. Vayoshev aleihem, and he returned to them, vayedaber aleihem, and he said to them, vayikach me'itam et Shimon. He took Shimon from them. Vayeser oto le'aneihem. Now, it doesn't say what he said to them. Most probably what he said to them is the fact that he's taking Shimon and he is going to hold him hostage until they return with their youngest son. Right? And Rashi points out that he imprisoned Shimon only le'enehem, in their eyes. And as soon as they left, he took Shimon out of jail. And Shimon had a wonderful, wonderful time in the palace. It was only Le'enehem. They should be left with the impression that Shimon has been imprisoned. By Yitzav Yosef, and Yosef committed by Yimalu et Klei and Bor, they filled up, gave them whatever they came with, they gave them grain, Ulahoshiv et Kaspeim, he also gave instructions that they should return their money to them. Ish el Sako, each person into his sack. They were also given food to the road. He gave such instructions, Vayaslan came, and it was done so for them. Question. Yosef has just heard his brothers, all of them saying, I've had a terrible thing, we're guilty. Why doesn't he reveal himself? What more does the man want? Listen to this, the brothers say, God, we're so guilty about what we did to our brother. So here, it seems quite clear that the answer is that Yosef wants to bring his brothers to the next level of tshuva. In the second chapter of Hilchot Tshuva, the Rambam says, what is tshuva gevura, what is ultimate tshuva? Turn around on the other side. On the left hand, a Zohi, number 7, a Zohi Tshuva Gemura, what is absolute Tshuva? So the Rambam is going to explain what absolute Tshuva is. When a person finds himself in precisely the same position that he was at the time of the original sin, and he has the opportunity and the ability and the desire to commit the sin again, and the only thing that stays him in his tracks and stops him is because he's done tshuva. The real test of whether tshuva is honest is if I'm able to withstand temptation. And therefore the Rambam says, Zeshibol yodol dovash odobo, a person who now has again the opportunity to do the Averi he once did, he has the possibility of doing it. Uporash, and he stopped, Vloasa, Mifnei HaTshuva, he didn't do the Averi the second time because of Tshuva. Lomi Yira, not because he's afraid of everything. Vlomi Kishlon Koach, and not because he's weak, he can't do. Doesn't have the Koach, you need Koach to do an Averi also. Not because he doesn't have the Koach to do an Averi. Ketzer, he gives an example. A person who lived with a woman in sin, later, he is again alone with her, for who he loves her as he did before. He has the strength, where he was at the time. And he's not going to make the mistake again. That is an absolute tshuva. What Yosef wants to do is he wants to bring his brothers to the point of tshuva gemura. So what does he do? He takes Shimon and he imprisons Shimon. Do you know what Yosef is waiting for?
Yosef is waiting for one of them to come over and say, "Hey, Tzafna Paneach, you keep your hands off our brother. You don't release him immediately. We're going to destroy you and all of Egypt. No brother will be left behind." That's the test. He's given them the test. And you know what? Yosef sees that they failed the test. They took Shimon? Okay, but he took Shimon. Nobody seems to object. Nobody objects. Yosef is crestfallen. Can't believe it. He just said, "We are guilty about our brother," and he can leave another brother. So you know what he understands? That he's going to have to go through the whole process all over again. They're going to be given a third opportunity. They're going to have to bring Binyamin down. And then, of course, we know the story. He's going to frame Binyamin. The cup of Yosef is going to be found in Binyamin. He says, "I'm taking Binyamin as a slave." And he waits. That's the end of Parshat Miketz. There's sort of a pause. He's hoping and praying that they will not fail again. And then Parshat Vayigash begins. Vayigash El Yehuda. Yehuda comes over and he says, Listen, Tzafna Paneach. You asked us to bring our brother. We did exactly what you did. I don't know what happened over here with this cup, but Yehuda says, this boy is not staying here. Eich ele elavi, how can I go back to my father and the child is not with me? We're going to take our father down into the grave. I'm staying in his place. Yehuda must think that, I'm giving this guy, Tzafnas Paneach, who works, he must be shaking. And he doesn't realize that Yosef says, Baruch Hashem, these guys got seichel. They finally learned you don't leave a Yiddish kind by anybody. And what happens at the beginning of Parshat Vayigash? After this takes place, it says that Yosef was no longer able to control himself. And he reveals himself to his brothers. Go back to the first song. Number 3. This is Yehuda speaking to Yosef. I'm going to come to your servant, my father, the child isn't with us. Then his soul is bound up with the soul of this child. When he will see that the boy is not yet, the mate, he's going to die. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to take down your servant into the grave. The Yagon Sholom, with terrible agony and sorrow to the grave. Because your servant is one, I guarantee the boy, may Imavi from my father, saying, if I don't bring him to you, I will have sinned to my father for all time. So now he says, let me stay in the place of the boy, ever as a slave. Let the boy go up with his brothers. How can I go up to my father and the boy is not with me? Lest I see the evil, the terrible trouble that will find my father. Now, watch this pasuk. V'lo yachol Yosef lihitapek l'chol hanitzavim alav. Yosef could not restrain himself in the presence of all who stood there. So he called out, Vayikra, he called out, Hotziu kol ish mi'olai, remove everybody from before my presence. V'lo amad ish ito, and no man stood with him, b'hitvada Yosef alechav. When Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, he wanted to make sure nobody's going to be there. He doesn't want his brothers embarrassed. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to wash the dirty laundry in the presence of goyim. This is between us. And it says, "By yitenet kolod b'vechi," he cries, "By yishmu tzayim
Mitzrayim, they heard this crying. Vayishvach et Paro. Vayomer Yosef el Achav to his brothers Yosef said, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef. One of the most dramatic moments in all of Tanakh. Ani Yosef, Ha'od Avichai, is my father still alive? So we asked this question some years ago, and I'm going to ask it again now. A simple reading over here would clearly leave the impression that would Yosef have been capable of controlling himself, he would not have revealed himself to his brothers even now. Right? V'lo yochol Yosef litape. Yosef couldn't control himself. And therefore, I'm Yosef. If he could have controlled himself, he wouldn't have said a word. What does he want now? They've already gone through the process of vidui. That's the Chamman in the first chapter of Hilchot Tshuvah. He has now brought them to the point where they have fulfilled the Rambam in the second chapter of Hilchot Tshuvah. The same Aveda, same circumstances, and they don't sin. It's Tshuva Gemura. Tshuva Gemura. What does this man Yosef want? If he could have controlled himself, he wouldn't have revealed himself. See, I remember that everybody started up with me. You know, they weren't ready to buy it. But by the time I worked you over, you were ready to buy it. So let's buy it right now. I'm going to tell you what's happening over here. And I can prove it. I can prove it. There's one terrible mystery. The terrible mystery over here is Yosef doesn't want it to end this way. You know how Yosef wants it to end? Hey, you're Yosef. 10 brothers don't, for heaven's name, recognize their brother. What do you mean? What's going on over here? Yosef is perplexed. He doesn't know what's happening. They don't recognize him. I know what you're going to tell me. So just calm down. I know exactly what you're going to tell me. I'm going to know every possibility. Anything you're going to try and come up with. The first thing, of course, that comes to mind is the Rashi. And where was the Rashi? Take a look at number one. Up at the top. Top of the page. Vayakirem. He recognized them. Vayitnaker aleihem. But he acted like a stranger to them. That's when they first are brought before Yosef. Vayadaberi tam kashot, and he spoke with them harshly. Vayomer aleihem, and he said to them, Me'ayin batem, where have you come from? Vayomer, and they said, Me'eretz Kanaan, we've come from Lenu Kanaan, Lish bar ochel, to buy food. Vayakeh Yosef et echav, v'heim lo hikiduhu. Yosef recognized his brothers, and they didn't recognize him. Okay. So everybody knows the Rashi. And there is the Rashi. Number two, Vayake Yosef. Yosef recognized them. Lefi shehi nicham chatumei zakam. When he left, they had beards. Vehem lo hikiruhu, but they didn't recognize him. Sheyotza me'etzlehem v'lo chatim ad zakim. He left. He didn't have a beard yet. Vashav mitzoruhu. Now they found him b'chatim ad zakam with the growth of a beard. I make it very, very, I want to make it very clear. Rashi never meant anything more than to explain why at the precise moment that he recognized them, they didn't recognize him. But wait a minute, they're going to be talking to one another. They're going to be engaged in conversation. They're going to sit and eat together. And there are 10 chevra over here, 10 chevra. If for 20 years, 22 years, you don't recognize your brother? Impossible. Can't be. I know what I need to say. Never in the wildest dreams did it occur to them that their little brother is the second in command of the greatest empire in the world. Did I guess what you were going to say? Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
What's amazing, when Shimon was allowed free in the palace,
yeah,
that he didn't catch something.
I can't answer that. I'm dealing with my approach. I'm not going to go why Shimon. You know what? Shimon didn't recognize him.
That's right.
Did not recognize him. None of them recognize him. And Yosef is perplexed. How come? So you're going to say, I've been through this before. You know what? I guarantee you, there's not a single one of you that's going to come up with anything that I will not be able to answer. So you know what the best thing to do is? Just sit back, relax, and listen to what I have to say. Just listen to what I have to say. None of them recognize it. And Yosef doesn't understand what's happening over here. Not a single one of them says, hey, that's your salad. Don't see it. How many times have you been where? I just saw a newspaper article yesterday about two sisters in bed after 70 years. What are you talking about? You don't recognize it. What do you mean you don't recognize it? So you're going to tell me because they didn't expect to find him here. The answer is simple. What was the biggest story in Egypt then? A Nar Ebed Ivri, who was raised to greatness, and Paro took him in a chariot through the streets of Mitzrayim, announcing this is the new second in command. Everybody knew it. The great story of the slave, the Hebrew slave, the Nar Ebed Ivri. Nobody, they don't know the story, but they don't know what everybody's talking about. They don't know the story. They know the story. But they're not connecting. They're not connecting it. Now, next time around when you learn Miketz and Vayigash, you know what you have to do? You have to take a look at all of the hints that Yosef drops for them that they should be able to recognize it. I once counted 17 different hints. They're in prison for 3 days. He takes them out and he says to them, Elokim ani yarei, I fear God. How many people in Mitzrayim would say Elokim ani yarei? Give me a break. They might have said something like the sun god or the moon god or this goddess. Elokim ani yarei, that should have zexed them immediately. They don't get it. They find their money back in their together with their grain. Why did they stop to think? What's going on here? He accuses us of being spies, and he's so nice, or somebody trying to frame us. They can't figure it out. They come back the second time. And they're invited to dine with him. And they come into the dining room, and there are place settings over there. And unbelievable. The place settings are each one according to their birthday. Yeah? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. And the pasuk says, Vayitmuhu ha'anashim. The people are amazed. Who figured this out? Why can't they grasp that there's only one person in the world who could have known that, and that's Yosef. And they still don't get it. He gives Binyamin gifts 5 times more than he gives them. Why doesn't it get it to him? He wants Binyamin. We can't come back unless he brings Binyamin. He gives Binyamin 5 times as much gifts. Maybe he's related a shtickle to Binyamin. They don't get it. They don't get it. The number of times that he uses the name of God, Shem Shamayim Shagur Al Piv, I don't know how it would sound like an Egyptian, but this man is in Yirtz Hashemming and Baruch Hashem, you know, you understand? And they don't get it. And they don't get it. Do you know what Yosef craves? You know what Joseph wants more than anything else? That they should recognize him. You know what frightens him? That there's such deep hatred that they have torn him out of their minds. He doesn't exist. He doesn't exist. He's waiting for them to say, "They, Yosef." They don't say it. And therefore, when he can no longer control himself, he says, "Ani Yosef. Ani Yosef." That's not the way we're supposed to end. You know what it means? It means that there's something still missing in the tshuva of the brothers. On a deeper level, though they've said, "Aval Hashem Anachnu, we are guilty," they stood their ground for Binyamin, something is still lacking. There's something that requires, correction. If there would be a feeling of brotherhood, they should have been able to recognize. There is no logical reason in the world why they don't recognize him. And by the way, let's take a flashback. That day that his father sends him, "Go see how your brothers are and see how the grazing of the sheep," and he had sent him to Shechem, Yosef comes to Shechem and he doesn't find his brothers there. So he wanders in the field. And a man finds him there and he asks him, "What are you looking for?" Rashi over there says, and said, he was a God's great divine plan. And the plan called for Yosef to meet with his brothers. And wait, this. Something went wrong with the whole plan. They're not in Shechem. The Rebbe Shem doesn't. He stays calm. Please come. Just sends down a malach. And there's the malach standing in the field. And he asks Yosef, "What are you looking for?" There's the answer. What does he say? "Et achai onochi mevakesh. I seek my brothers." He wants brotherhood more than anything else. By the way, that's Yosef's tshuva. He was also guilty in what took place over here. And he already wants to correct it, that "I want my brothers." He doesn't get that. It's only because he can't control himself anymore, v'lo yachol Yosef litapek, that he says, "Ani Yosef. I am Yosef." That's not the way he wanted it. That's not the way he wanted it to end. What's even more difficult to understand is here, Rashi told us that he recognized them because when he left they had beards. They didn't recognize him because when he left he didn't have a beard. Now he does have a beard. You understand? Rashi is telling us that not having a beard is a reason not to recognize Yosef. So take a look at a Rashi, number four. Number four, Medrash Haggadah Doresh. The Medrash Haggadah says at the beginning of Parshat Vayeshev, Eile told out Yosef is his son. So Rashi says, Tola HaKosef told out Yaakov Yosef, verse hung the title of Jacob's offspring upon Joseph. That is, scripture here mentioned only Joseph as Jacob's offspring. That's what it says at the beginning of Parshat Vayeshev. If they covered Vav for many reasons, you know why Yaakov, his descendants, are called Yosef? Achas, one, Shekol Atzmu Shel Yaakov Lo Avad Eitzel Lavan Ela BeRachel. Yaakov worked by Lavan only for Rachel. And then, who was the child that was produced by Yaakov and Rachel? That was Yosef. And then the next thing, you know what else Rashi says? V'shehayar zivi kunim shel Yosef dom elon. Yosef was the spitten image of Yaakov. Do you know what that means?
Yosef with a beard is their father. They're looking at their father. They're looking at their father. My wife and I took a bunch of our enikluch out. What we do around here, the two most difficult days of the summer is when my wife has kaitanat safta, and all the little medelach move into the house. Freitnish was titzuch of tishin of banker is there. They're lovely, I love them all, okay? Anyway, we took them as their closing activity. No, you understand, in about a day and a half, you have to have everything. You have to have a color board, and you have to have, of course, a visiting day in camp, and all the parents come. You understand, the house is like you did. We took them out to pizza, Pizzola. You know what Pizzola is? All right, that's on Company Shark. Anyway, on the Chof Company Shark, Pizzola. This is not a commercial. It's not a commercial. There's also Larry's Pizza further down the block. Anyway, here it is. Listen to this. I take the first group of kids home by car. I'm going to come back because there are a lot of them. So I was the balagula. I was the bus driver. Okay. My wife calls me. I'm driving home with the first group. My wife calls me. She says, "You won't believe it. You won't believe what just happened. We had a waitress, and the waitress says to my wife, your husband, he reminds me very much of my grandfather." So my wife says, "Who's your grandfather?" "You won't know the people, but all right. Green, that's his name." So my wife says, "Emmanuel Green?" She says, "Yeah, that's my grandfather. Your husband reminds me. He's one of my best friends." "One of my best friends? I haven't seen him in 10, 15 years. We were two troublemakers together in Area Soil. And she recognized in me her grandfather. How can people not recognize in Yosef Yaakov, for heaven's sake?" So therefore, when Rashi says that he had a beard now, he had a beard is more reason why they should recognize him. But they don't. And even though he drops hints every step of the way, he's dropping hints, and they don't get it. I thought about this for a long, long time, and I think the only answer that I came up with, and I think that I may be able to even prove that now. I was not able to prove it, or at least show that this is not probably the truth. There's no doubt about it in my mind, the reason why they don't recognize Yosef, that's their punishment from heaven. Their punishment is they don't recognize him. You acted that way toward a brother, you're not going to recognize him. And you know what that's going to mean? Do you know what's going to happen from the moment Yosef says, "Ani Yosef," until the dying day of the Shvatim? They're going to get up night after night in a cold sweat. Rabbeinu Shalom, why didn't we recognize him? Had we fallen into such terrible hatred, had we cut him so much out of our lives, they're going to suffer until the very last moment. That's their punishment. Ultimately, well, we'll leave ultimately for another few minutes. So they don't recognize him. And therefore they're confused, they don't know what's happening. They see everything. They see that they're all seated exactly according to their birthday. And they don't get it. They are full with so many questions and doubts, they can't get to the answer. That's God at work. You did that to a brother? Live with it. Live with it. Watch. Let's go a little further. In
number six is the roundout at the very end of the first chapter of Hilchot Tshuva. And there the Rambam is listing what is the, how is forgiveness according to the Aveda. For example, if somebody didn't fulfill a positive commandment, somebody didn't say Krishna, somebody didn't take Lulav and Esrog, somebody didn't eat matzah Pesach night. The moment the person says, God, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it again, forgiven completely. What happens if it's a negative commandment? So then it waits for Yom Kippur. Negative commandments, Yom Kippur, and in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, there was also the goat that was sent out to Azazel. Itzumo Shayom, the day of Yom Kippur, is a source of forgiveness. Let's, I can read quickly through that whole halacha. Number six, even though tshuva is a source of forgiveness, a call for everything, the power of Yom Kippur is the day itself is a source of atonement. Yesh averot shein mitkaprot b'shatam, there are averot that are forgiven at the time, v'yesh averot shein mitkaprot el olach hazman, and there are other averot that are not forgiven until a later point in time. Ketzad, how does this work? Ova adam amitzat haseh shein botkarei v'asot tshuva. A person transgressed a positive commandment where there is no punishment of kares. By the way, there are only two positive commandments in all of Torah for which not fulfilling them, there is a mitzvah of kares, which means that one dies young. Those two mitzvahs are the mitzvah of eating Korban Pesach and Brit Milah. All the other positive commandments, what happens over here is the moment you ask for forgiveness, forgiven. V'asa tshuva, the tshuva eino zaz mishamar shemochlono, doesn't move from the spot until he's forgiven. U've'elu nemar, and about positive commandments of somebody didn't do it. I didn't do a mitzvah that I should have done. About positive commandments, it says, shuvu bonin shofavim, rebellious sons return, erpon mishuvotechem, I heal your rebelliousness. Finished, instantly. Instant forgiveness. Kapara achshav. Okay. Amar mitzvah lo sase. What happens if somebody transgressed a negative commandment? Shein bo kares. The lonely suspend is not one of the big serious ones. There is no punishment of kares, and there is no capital punishment. V'asa tshuva. Need the tshuva. Sway. Tshuva tola. Tshuva now means that it's held in suspension. The Yom HaKippurim Mechaper. Along comes Yom HaKippurim, Yom Kippur is the source of forgiveness. And about these it is said, Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem, on that day he will forgive. What is the forgiveness? One transgressed a negative commandment of the non-serious mode. What happens if a person was over our krisis when he's suspended? Something for which the punishment is courage. Somebody ate chametz on Pesach. Somebody was mechal b'Shabbos. So there, what happens is, if also tshuva did tshuva b'yom kippurim tolin b'yisurin habon olav gomrin la makaporo. Tshuva and yom kippurim now hold it in suspension until suffering, God punishes, and suffering comes upon man, and that suffering completes Gomrin Lo HaKapara, complete the atonement. Ula Olam Emiskapalo Kapara Gemura Achi of all of Yisurim. There's no such thing as forgiveness for that unless there is Yisurim. But don't get shook up. The Chod, in one of his great Tshuva Dvashis, says, you know, by God, what we think is Yisurim, you understand? God has a different way of looking at Yisurim. If somebody wants to take a shekel out of his pocket and he puts his hand into his pocket and he comes out with 10 gurot, that's suffering. And sometimes, as far as God is concerned, that's all the suffering he needs. Okay? Further.
about these, about negative, serious negative commandments. About them it says, "Ufakadati b'shevet tisham uvenegoyim avonam." I will remember with the stick their rebelliousness, and with suffering their sin. V'amedvam amurim. This is the last and most significant halacha over here that we need. When is all this said? If a person did not desecrate God's name at the time that he did the Aveda. Where it's underlined, I'm at the point where it's underlined over there. Aval ha-mechalel et Hashem, the one who desecrates God's name. Afal pi sha'osa tshuva, even if he did tshuva. V'higia yom ha-kippurim and yom ha-kippurim arrive. V'hu omei b'tshuvato, and he is about tshuva. Upo all of Yisurin, and suffering came upon him. And miskapolo kapora gemura ad sheyomos, a person is not forgiven for chilul Hashem until he dies. Elo tshuva, yom ha-kippurim, v'yisurin, repentance, yom kippur, and suffering, shlosh them, all three of them, hold the sin in suspension. U'misa machaperes, and death forgives. Shenema, as it says, Pasuk in Yeshayahu, v'nigla bo'azni Hashem tzarkotis, has been revealed in the ears of God, im yichupar ha'avon hazeh lechem atemutun, if this sin will be forgiven until you die. And there it is, Yeshayahu there is talking about those who sort of rejected God, and there's the ones who say, let's eat and drink and be merry today, for tomorrow we die. You know, a complete rejection of everything. Chilul Hashem. We're building it up. Number eight is a medrash. In the beginning of Parashat B'Shalach, watch this. The beginning of Parashat B'Shalach, Klal Yisrael is marching out of Mitzrayim. And what does Moshe do? Moshe raises the casket, the bones of Yosef, and he's the one who makes certain that Yosef is going to be carried out of Egypt. Ki hashbeya hishbeya, that's the pasuk at the beginning of Mishnah. Ki hashbeya hishbeya at the name Yisrael. Yosef had the Jewish people, his brothers of the Jewish people, swear he made them swear. what did he make them swear? V'ha'alitem et atzmotayim yizeitem, you're going to take your bones with you. Don't leave me behind in its height. Lomo shnei plomim. Why were the two oaths? Hashbeya ishbeya. Ella, hu nishbalahem. He swore to his brothers, she'en b'libo aleim. He has absolutely no ill feeling in his heart to them. V'hein nishba'in lo. And they swore to him, she'en b'libam alav. They don't have any hard feelings in their heart against him. You know what that means? We're saying that the story of Yosef and his brothers, and I'm saying this very carefully, it begins to end only upon Yosef's death. It's only then they each tell one another, they swear, there's no hatred. The hatred is gone. That's the most important thing in Sefer Bereishis. We once discussed it, that every set of brothers in Sefer Bereishis end up very bad. Very bad. We know exactly what happened with Cain and Hevel, you understand? There was no Hevel anymore. Cain killed Hevel. Shem, Chom, and Yafes, the children of Nod, wow, God, they didn't end up well at all. They ended up enemies in different parts of the world. The two children of Avram, they're fighting around Ad Hayom Hazeh. Till today, Yitzhak and Yishmael are fighting. They're making peace, they talk peace. No, the Medrash and the Torah didn't know about Tzipi Livni, make peace with Sa'id Barakat. But the fact is that Yitzhak and Yishmael didn't end up too good at all. All right. Yaakov and Esav, famous Yaakov and Esav, are still, the anti-Semitism in the world is the result of the of Esav and the Christian church, famous. It's all going on. The next set of brothers,
of the children of Yaakov. And for four sedras, Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayikas, Vayechi. We don't know whether this is one family until the last few psukim of Vayechi, Hashbeah, Hishbeah. He swears to them, I have no heart feeling to you whatsoever. And they tell him, they swear to him that we don't have to. You know what it means? The family is one. The family is one. That's the way it ends. By the way, I once saw a beautiful thing. People bless their children. They say, Yisimcha Elokim ke'Ephraim v'chemenasha. That's the bracha that parents give to children on Friday night. Why ke'Ephraim v'chemenasha? Why not like Reuven and Shimon? Why not anybody else? So they say, because in all the Sefer Bereishis, there are only two brothers that there was never a machlokes between them. Ephraim and Menashe. Therefore we say, Yisimcha Elokim kindlech. There should be shalom, peace, the shalva beinechem like Ephraim and Menashe. Now watch. Let's finish the Medrash. Lomo v'ha'alitem et atzmotayim yizeyetchem. What does he make them swear? He administers an oath to his brothers that they should take his bones out on Rav Levi. Moshe l'mah adam adam Rav Levi said, to what can this be compared? L'adam shehichnis yeino b'marteif nichnisu ha'ganavim. The not lo hachavish, the whole chulahem, the shatu oto. Thieves who came into a wine cellar and they took a casket of wine, and they drank it all up. Ubatalayayin, then the owner of the wine comes, umotzo tamani found them, shagondu hachavish, that they stole his barrel of wine. Amalahem, he said to them, Shatita Magayin, you drank the wine, huh? Hachaziru hachavit l'nekoma. At least one thing. The barrel. Put the barrel back where you got it from. Kach. Yosef is saying, Mishchem gomvu, echov she Yosef oto machru oto. It was from Shchem that his brothers stole him and sold him. Ukishaboli potem in ha'olam and Yosef, when he is about to leave this world, he made them swear, Omalahem, he said to them, Bevakashami kem achai. Every word is so beautiful. You see the word that he uses? Please, achai, my brothers. Mishchem ganavtem oti, you stole me from Shchem? Chai, alive? Hachaziru et atzmotai l'shem. Take my bones back to Shem. Let's finish this whole story off like it never happened. L'kach nema, that's why it says, et atzmot Yosef asher helu b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim kavru b'shem. In Sefer Yehoshua it says, the bones of Yosef that the children of Israel had taken out of Egypt, they buried in Shechem. The whole story doesn't end until after they have arrived back in Eretz Yisrael and they take Yosef back to the place from which they took him. What's interesting is that in Parshat B'Shalach it says Moshe is the one that Hela atzmot Yosef. And here at the end it says, B'nai Yisrael are the ones that hello. So the Gemara says on this, Moshe was the matkil the mitzvah, one began the mitzvah. Klal Yisrael finished the mitzvah. I believe what the Medrash is telling us is the entire painful story of Yosef and his brothers does not end until they inter his bones in Shechem. Watch. You know what I'm going to do with you now? I'm going to take you back to the Medrash that we began with 2 weeks ago. I have learned this Medrash I don't know how many times over the last 40 years. And here it is. Something I never noticed. Amru. You remember the beginning of the Medrash? We don't have to read it all.
Nacharim Beineinu. Let us make a band of excommunication. Nobody's to tell Yaakov. They don't have a minion. They get God to join the minion. We explained that. We explained all of that. Take a look where it's underlined. Rabbi Mona Omer. Rabbi Mona says, B'mekidat Yosef, Laku Hashvatim. Because of Mekidat Yosef, the tribes, the brothers were punished. V'lonit kapeh lehem avonam asher metu, and their sin was not forgiven until they died. By the way, do you have any idea what aveda is it that's not forgiven until death? Kilu Hashem! We learned the Rambam. Watch what Rambam says. V'aleihem hakatuv omer, about the brothers. The pasuk says, "Im yichupar ha'avon hazeh lachem ad tibutod." That's exactly the pasuk that the Rambam brought that tells us that the chilul Hashem. You know what it means? Selling a brother into slavery. There's no greater chilul Hashem than that. A Jew who not only abandons a fellow Jew, sells him off into slavery. Lefikach boro v'aretz. That's why famine came. I say that there was another punishment. You know what the other punishment was? The other punishment was that they didn't recognize their brother. Carry that around with you, ad tumuton, until you die. Carry that with you. How didn't we recognize him? How didn't we recognize him? Then this morning, the preparation for the shiur takes approximately 40 years. This one is 40 years, but it's really three shiurim. Okay, so three shiurim in 40 years, not bad. I think I mentioned at the end of the first year, didn't I? What started me on this medrash, I don't know how I got to the medrash, but it was after I had read an article in a magazine by a great Jew who said that the Holocaust was because of the Zionists. And then, so I push it, you understand what happened to me then? This was 40 years ago. I didn't know it hit me. Shomu Shamayim. Here, for heaven's sake, is the blame game. Yeah, you understand? Religious Jews say the Zionists says it was the Hebbers and the Hashiras, and then everybody's blaming everybody else, and the guy who did it all, Hitler Yamach Shemini, is laughing in the grave. I couldn't take it. And I don't know why the Rebbe Shem sent me this medrash of Nacharim Beineinu. So I've been learning the medrash for 40 years. Okay. I don't know if I told you the rest of the story. I published, without mentioning anybody's names, I published an article explaining this medrash, and the message, of course, was that the blame game is the most destructive thing of all. When you can blame others, you never see your own share of the guilt, and it can tear clutters apart. So the editor of that magazine where the other article appeared, he's not stupid, they picked up immediately that my article was an attack on theirs. So, because I was then president of the Council of Young Israel Rabbis, so every month there was the Young Israel Viewpoint that came out, and I wrote an article on the Young Israel Viewpoint on this message, only the first part. So he called me and he said, Rabbi Gold, you know, we'd like the right of reply in the Young Israel Viewpoint. No, they want to defend the great Jew who had written otherwise. So I said, the pages of the Young Israel Viewpoint are open to you on one condition, that I have the right of reply in, I'll say it, the Jewish Observer. So I said, no, we can't do that. So I said, if so, no. The Young Israel Viewpoint is not open to you. Okay. They want to be able to publish by me, but I can't be published by that. Okay. What was it that I think topped everything off for me this morning? I don't know how it came flying into my head. There's a mitzvah
You don't have it. I didn't make copies for you. I'll tell you. At mitzvah 568, number 568 is the mitzvah, not to return a slave who fled from his master abroad into the land of Israel. A slave from Bavel flees to Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to send him back. You think, you know, big mitzvah, slave ran away, lost to the master. I'm going to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavas HaVeda, I'm going to return him. So the Torah says, Lo tazgir eved al adonav, you're not permitted to send a slave back to his master. So he says, Sheninanu, we are restricted not to return a slave who has fled from his master from outside the land to the land of Israel, even if his master is a Jew. We are not to return him, but are to set him free. About this it is stated in Torah, Lo tazgir eved al adonav, he can't give over a slave to his master. And so the Gemara explains it. It's talking about a slave who ran from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Then the Chinuch, I'm reading from the Chinuch. The Chinuch says, what's the root of this precept? What's the root over there? Mishorosh ha-mitzvah ma'ashe zakarnu she'rotzo ha-keil l'chvod ha-aretz. For the honor of Eretz Yisrael, God wanted Shahaborech Hisham he notzel mi'avdus, whoever flees from wherever he is, and he comes to Eretz Yisrael is his ticket to freedom. Kedei shenitein el libeinu kvod hamakom. Wow. So that we should understand what an outstanding and exceptional and holy place Eretz Yisrael is. A slave flees to Eretz Yisrael, you free him. The nigbatel v'aveinu, and we should establish in our hearts b'yoteinu sham, that when we are in Eretz Yisrael, we should understand what a place this is. The slave becomes free when he comes here. The chol zel ha'il amo, this mitzvah is to be of great benefit for his people, u'zakotam, and to make them meritorious. He chafetz tesed, because God wants kindness. What happens if you sell a brother from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz? You understand? And who do you sell to Chutz Laaretz? Yosef. There's a Medrash that says that Moshe pleaded with God, Atzmos Yosef nichnasin la'aretz v'ani eini nichnas. Yosef's bones are going into Eretz Yisrael, and I can't go in. Why can't I be buried in Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara's response was a very, very sharp one, he says. Yosef shehuda b'artzo v'lo kofar b'artzo. Yosef, who didn't deny that he is a Hebrew from the land of Canaan. Ish Ivri, a Hebrew, was with us in jail. But what did the daughters of Yitro call you? Ish Mitzri Hitzilano. An Egyptian sailor. Yosef is considered the classic Ohev Eretz Yisrael. Which means, in addition to everything that the brothers did to him, you know what else they did to him? They tore him away from Eretz Yisrael. They can't be tshuva for that until what? The only tshuva for that is when they finally bring him back and they bury him in Eretz Yisrael. That's when the story comes to an end. That's where it really ends. The story is complete. See, here we have it. We've watched through the brothers of Yosef. We have watched the process of tshuva. It's a painful one. It takes 22 years until they're able to say out of their mouths, but we are guilty. It takes them 22 years until each and every one of them sees that he shares the guilt. Don't go looking for people to blame things on. And the greatness of a human being is that he has the courage and the strength to say, yeah, Shamu, Bagarno, Gozano, the way I did a terrible thing and I want to do tshuva. That's step one. The next step is to make sure that the tshuva is tshuva gemura. That if the same opportunity to sin arises again, you're not going to make the same mistake ever again. And then, depending on what the sin is, there has to be some kind of a way of sort of completely erasing any traces of it. Because even after tshuva and after kapara, traces, ketem, Yirmiyahu talks about the stain, you know, you clean everything out, you run out there, there's a stain. The only way to remove the stain of sin, when Yosef, they bring Yosef back and they bury him in Shem. You took me from there, return me there. For Yosef, the great Ohev Eretz Yisrael, that ends the story. The brothers may not have known that in addition to the fact that they're selling a brother off into slavery, but there's another great Avela that they are tearing them away from Eretz Yisrael. And that has to be corrected. And that happens only at the end. See you, everybody. Please bake the ounce goods. The Rabbeinu Shlomo should do the job that he has to do, because if you're going to wait for Obama, you know, things are not going to be done. The Rabbeinu Shlomo has to do it. I put your...